Peter, good morning.
Morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us. This list, the National Register of Citizens, why did we see this one made?
Okay, this is a problem that goes back a long way, and I really wish if we were discussing this that everybody should have a map in front of them because it would make it a lot easier. But essentially, God, I don't know where to start. Let's go back 60 million years, okay? You got a minute?
Yeah, well, look, brief history of the region, why not?
Okay, so if you go back to Gondwana land, India and Australia were joined together. Western Australia and Eastern India were one, and they split apart. India charged off and crashed into Tibet. It took, of course, millions of years to do that. Pushed up the Himalayas. Okay, you with me so far?
I'm following.
Okay, so two big river systems emerged out of that crash. One of them starts in the Himalayas in the west and goes down along the southern side of the Himalayas. That's the Ganges. The other is on the starts on the other side, on the northern Tibetan side of the Himalayas. At the eastern end, does a kind of U-E around the edge, cuts through the Himalayas, and then goes from east to west, partway around a kind of a hilly thumb, let's call it, and then plunges south and eventually joins the Ganges. Okay, so we have two huge river systems. And the one on the east, is the Brahmaputra, is kind of where we're talking about. That's the valley of Assam, where this eastern river comes along the base of the Ganges and then cuts down.
So some natural borders there, makes sense?
Sort of, but it's not really much of a natural border. and south of, so in that area that we're talking about now, is where the people speak a language called Assamese. Just to the south of that, under the thumb, but to the west of that, is a huge area where they speak Bengali. And in up until the early part of the 19th century, that was administered by the British as a single province of Bengali speakers called Bengal. Surprise. But there was, ethnically, there, and one we could go back to the Middle Ages, but let's skip that. The eastern part of Bengal was largely Muslim, and the western part was largely Hindu. Okay, you with me so far?
I am following, yeah.
Okay, in 1947, when India was partitioned along religious lines and the state of Pakistan was created, the strangest country in the world was created, called Pakistan. Pakistan had two wings, the one we know that's still Pakistan in the west, and another one in the east called East Pakistan, based around this Muslim-majority area in the eastern part of Bengal. They broke away from Pakistan in 1971. The Bangladesh War, which millions of, let's call them many thousands, I don't know the actual number, of Bengali Muslims were killed by the Pakistani army, which was mainly based in the west. A lot of them fled. They fled across various borders into India. And some of the borders they fled into were what's called West Bengal, but others fled into Assam. And something like, where am I? I just found the figure. Something like 6.5 million of the people who fled were Hindus from Bangladesh.
Mm.
A lot of them were Muslims. So part of the problem arose even earlier, but especially in the time when Bangladesh was created. A lot of people forcefully fled. I used to remember the number, I don't know. The entire population of Australia at that time fled into India to escape the crackdown of the Bangladesh military.
I have heard about stories from this particular era. Obviously, a very, very difficult time. And I can see how that would obviously result in quite a mishmash of populations.
Right. So, and then you get agitations because, and here we go back. So history is kind of linked into all of this, Shane. During the British rule, the British were administering their laws and so on in Assam, but using English laws, customs, and so on. And there weren't many people from Assam from Bengal, mostly Hindus, who had been had longer experience with British rule, had learned English, learned about the laws, migrated into Assam. So there's a tension that goes back really to the British period between the Assamese and these people from Bengal who were largely Hindu. So there's a tradition already then of, let's call resentment against the kind of superior position that these Bengali migrants had. And now you couple it with a lot of Muslim migrants who've come in from Bangladesh, plus in the period after the Bangladesh War, a lot of other poor Muslims just filtered across the border because it was just a pretty porous border. And people have been trying to deal with this really since the late 70s. Excuse me, trying to create registers, trying to say who are really citizens and are allowed to vote, who are people who have come in illegally, are undocumented. And it's nobody's really been able to grasp the nettle. For its own purposes, the BJP government that's been in power since 2014 has said, okay, well, we're going to do it. That partly plays to their electoral base, but it is also grasping a real serious political problem. If you have maybe 4 million migrants who are not citizens, you need to do something about them. But what you can do about them, we might come to that in a second, is another problem. So, as you said, they've created this register. It's certainly not perfect. I've seen occasions, evidence in, for instance, on Indian television, the grandson of a previous president of India isn't on the list. A former Indian Army officer and his family aren't on the list. The nephew of a BJP parliamentarian isn't on the list. There are a whole lot of people who obviously are Indian citizens who either haven't been able to produce the paperwork or whose paperwork has been, it's not a perfect list. And yet, as you say, it's supposedly the final list. It's supposedly going to come into effect in December, and there are a whole lot of people who, presumably there are quite a lot of people on there who should be on there, but there are an awful lot of people on there who shouldn't be on there, and the real question is, can they establish their right to be Indian citizens before the list becomes kind of set in stone?
Well, an attempted clarification. We can see this as an attempted clarification that perhaps has gone quite a few steps too far. What kind of risk does this actually leave for the people that are left off the list, these 4 million individuals who, as you say, some of them very, very strong, obvious ties to India?
Yeah, well, that's a really big question. And now we can think about parallels like illegal migrants in the United States, undocumented migrants. And we can think of other kinds of refugees elsewhere. So what do you do with them? There's a kind of firebrand, a really irresponsible BJP parliamentarian who I saw speaking the other day, who said, well, if they don't go home like gentlemen, we should shoot them. Well, that's not going to happen. But Bangladesh says, they're not our citizens. So what are you going to do with them? Are they going to have 4 million undocumented stateless people in the country? Maybe they are. It's a really, really difficult problem, Sean.
Yeah, what do these people actually do now to get themselves on the... I mean, I've looked at some of the, some of the situation that you're mentioning there, and obviously there's a great deal of tension about these 4 million and what to do with them, but I understand the Indian government, at the very least, is trying not to make any knee-jerk reactions and will give these people at least a chance to defend themselves, to get themselves on the list. What do they do?
Well, the courts will naturally require that. But the fact that a number of these very prominent cases of coming to the fore suggests that the process, which is gargantuan, as you said, you're talking about 32 million people, 33 million, and maybe if there are only 4 million have come out on the list, is maybe not so far off, but they're clearly a lot of cases. I mean, remember, a lot of the migrants who came even before, and there was a cutoff date in 1971 before the Bangladesh War, Now, these are poor rural people in areas where the bureaucracy is not well, where most the birth of children are not registered, who came maybe as migrant laborers. You know, they don't have the kind of paperwork that bureaucracies would like to have to show, yes, I was here in this place in, you know, before 1971. And so now you're expecting them to produce documents which may have been lost. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. Well, that is unfortunate. We will have to leave it there, Peter. Do appreciate the history lesson and do indeed appreciate a bit of insight into this one as it currently stands. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.